In the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Happy first Sunday of Lent. Anytime we're starting something new, it's a little bit uncomfortable. Anytime we're starting a journey, a trip, if you think about those who like to travel, before you end up leaving on your trip, you have to prepare. Prepare the night before, prepare the day of, prepare a week in advance. Everybody prepares differently. And the church here today is helping us prepare for this journey. And Christ is giving us the tools on what our mentality should be going into the journey. Anybody who follows sports knows that before the season starts, there is a training camp, or in some cases, in certain things, a boot camp. Basically, people go in, the players go in, the coaches go in, and everybody starts preparing. They're preparing for their long-term journey, and they have a goal in mind. Every team starts off wanting to win a championship. It doesn't matter what team it is, in what sport, no one goes in and says, we don't want to do well this year. Everybody goes in and wants to do well. And they start off and they start their planning. Lent is the beginning of our spiritual journey. And in order for it to be a successful journey, we also have to have a goal in mind. Just like St. Paul compares our life to a race. And he says it because he knows that in a race, there's obstacles. There's struggles in a race. No one is comfortable going through races. If you turn on the TV now, you see the Olympics. And the preparation that they go on for 4 years, it's not a comfortable race. It's not a jog in the park. It takes a lot of effort. It takes a lot of struggle. And then when they get to the day of the race, obstacles. Different things could happen. Something can happen with the equipment. Something can happen with, in the Winter Olympics, the snow, and everything can go wrong. And that's how Lent is for us. That we get excited because it's a period of time where we're dedicated to God. It's a period of time that things change. Our food choices change. Some of our life choices change. Our reading picks up, our prayer picks up. All of these things change. The hymns of the church change. As you get closer at Holy Week, the church looks different. So there's a lot of changes that happen. But what we have to know is what is our goal. And in today's gospel, the gospel changes the focus from a worldly mentality to a heavenly mentality, an earthly to a heavenly. If you notice, he starts off in the middle of the gospel, he says, man cannot serve two masters. Why is he saying this? He's talking to people who are, remember, Christ might have talked in parables before, and he spoke in parables throughout, like we see a lot of different parables. But in here, the Sermon on the Mount is very direct. It's very direct. And he says, know who you're serving. We're entering Lent. Know who you're serving. Are we serving the food or are we serving God? Are we serving our own pleasures and ourselves or are we serving our Lord? He continues and he says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. All athletes are told to have their heart on the prize, their mind on the prize, always. That's what gets them through the first tough months. Like if you follow baseball right now, it's spring training. If you follow basketball in the summer, they come together after all the trades and everything, and they're all together and they're ready to go. The World Cup, people are preparing now because the World Cup is coming up. So people prepare in advance, and they have in their mind, they have their treasure is this prize. And where your treasure is, there your heart will be also, Christ says. So your treasure, we have to figure out where our treasure is. If our treasure is in our finances, there your heart will be also. You will make the biggest effort. You will look at all types of different investments. You will check out all of these different opportunities, you know, the cryptocurrency and the real estate and all the things that you can get yourselves into, because your heart, your treasure is your finances, and that's where your heart is. But if your heart and your treasure is God, your life will change. Your life will change because automatically your life has to look differently. There's going to be different roles that you have to play in order to reach that goal. And lastly, he ends with, seek first the kingdom of God. Personally, this is one of my favorite verses. This verse, for me, helped me change my mindset on a lot of things. Because he doesn't say, he says this verse after, he says this verse right after people were worrying about a lot of things. And what are they worrying for? They're worrying for really important stuff. What shall I eat? What shall I wear? What shall I drink? Things we worry about every morning. What shall I eat? What shall I wear? What shall I drink? These aren't strange people. These are people just like us. We think about what we're going to eat, what we're going to wear, what we're going to... And Christ says, okay, just don't worry about it. I got you. I'll take care of it. But first, seek me. The word seek is very interesting. When we think of seek, the first time we hear seek, we hear the game hide and go seek. And hide and go seek, as a little kid, somebody hides, and the person seeking will close their eyes for 10, 15 seconds, depending if they're cheating or not, and then will look around and just kind of like go, just stare at the chairs, the pews, just kind of look around. But in the Greek, that's where the problem happens sometimes. Sometimes we look at a word and we see it kind of at face value. But the Greek is not just look. It's the Greek meaning is to search intensively, to crave, or to strongly desire. We all have cravings. And when we have cravings, nothing gets in our way. We make sure, it doesn't matter if we have to drive a far distance, if we have to look, like, we have to go out of our way for certain cravings or strong desires. Seeking is the same way. So Christ is saying, I will take care of everything, but you first have to seek me. He said, seek first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness. And this, to me, is one of the most beautiful promises. Because he says, and all things shall be added. He's not saying, seek me and don't worry about the rest. He's saying, seek me and all things will be added. All things will be taken care of. Your food, your clothing, your homes, your whatever. And he gave examples before, saying the birds of the field, the grass of the field. Who's taking care of them? I am. So our goal during Lent is to seek him. Now, how do we seek him? In the epistle, in the Acts, the reading from Acts today, it was St. Paul standing in front of councils. So you have to look at what's going on right now. St. Paul is in trouble for many, many reasons. One of them being that he's preaching about God. And people there didn't accept this concept of God. Remember, he's around Jews, he's around Greeks. The Greeks worshipped the Greek gods. The Jews didn't believe in Christ. So they're not really happy with St. Paul. No one's really happy with St. Paul at this point. And he's standing there, and he's with them, and he's speaking in Hebrew. And what is he telling them? He's telling them about his story about how he converted. And he's giving the story, and this is maybe the second or third time he's giving it. And same details. And he's saying, I was minding my own business. I was going to persecute Christians. And then all of a sudden, I was with some people. And this light came. And I fell. And I was blinded. And then he recalls the conversation he had. And this conversation is one of the most beautiful conversations. And if you start thinking about why this conversation is repeated today, in the first week of Lent, he says, first thing he says is, who are you, Lord? And the Lord responds. And then he says, what do you want me to do? And then the Lord responds. This mentality, these questions, is what we should ask today, is what we should ask every single day of Lent. One, who are you, Lord? And I know that sounds like a ridiculous question sometimes, because we grew up knowing, or we have answers in our pockets. I was talking to somebody before, and they were saying, and I asked them, what do you say when somebody asks you, what do you believe in? And they stopped. They said, I believe in Jesus. I said, okay, well, there's more to that. There's so many other people that believe in Christ. How do you explain your orthodoxy? How do you talk about who you are as Orthodox Christians? And one person says, well, I tell them, it's kind of like the Greek Orthodox, the Russian Orthodox, we're similar, but we're from Egypt. I said, that doesn't help anybody. And somebody else said, oh, it's easy. I just tell them the creed. And I said, you just read the creed to them? They said, yeah. I said, we believe in one God, God the Father, the Pontifical. So they just go over the creed. And sometimes that's how we think of God. We think of God as a bunch of statements. A bunch of statements. That we can, if I pass around a test right now, everybody will get 100. We're all here, we're listening to the readings. But St. Paul knew about God. But this conversion story tells us that he got to know Christ at this moment. That Christ appeared to him. In order to have an effective Lent, we must experience Christ. St. Paul couldn't start his ministry until he experienced Christ. He couldn't. Moses the prophet, couldn't start his ministry until he experienced Christ. Like the first prophecy of the first day of Lent is the prophecy of Moses going up into the mountain and seeing the burning bush. You couldn't start Lent without seeing the burning bush, seeing Christ in front of you. St. Paul is saying here, before you go any further, stop and ask, who are you, Lord? And not who are you, Lord, in a general sense. We don't want to know the generic answer, the Sunday school answer, the God is love. Yeah, we know that. But who is God to me? Who is God to me? And before we start our journey, just like any journey, we have to have a destination. Yesterday, when I was coming from the valley to come to here, the first thing I had to do was put the address in the navigation. I couldn't go anywhere until I put the address in the navigation. I had to have a goal. There were some struggles on the way, in the shape of some traffic. But that's what happens even during Lent. That's what happens in our daily lives. No one is going to go through a smooth road. And St. Paul is telling us here, in order to continue, you have to know. So first he asks, who are you, Lord? Who are you? Who are you, Lord? And not a generic answer. Because look at what Christ responded to him and said. Even in the way St. Paul recited it. He said, so I answered, who are you, Lord? And he said to me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting. He didn't give a general answer. He gave a personal answer to St. Paul. He didn't say, I am the Son of God. I am the one who was crucified and rose. He's not giving a generic answer. He's saying, I am Jesus of Nazareth, who you, Paul or Saul at the time, are persecuting. You're persecuting me. And at that moment, he was convicted. We are not convicted in Christ unless we ask this question and are willing to accept an answer. The answer is the hard part. The answer is the hard part. Because if I say, who are you, Lord? And then he gives me a personal answer, I have to accept it. And not just that, after, there has to be a reaction from me. He didn't just stop and say, okay, thank you, nice to meet you. He continued. He said, and then it's interesting, he says, now those who were with me indeed saw the light and were afraid, but they did not hear the voice of him. So we can all be here at church. And we can all be praying. But the beauty of Christianity, the beauty of the Bible, the beauty of the prayers, that it's not generic, that it's personal. That when I read the Bible, we can all read the same verses, but I'm going to get something differently than you, and you're going to get something differently than me. Not because we read differently, not because I understand differently, it's because the Bible is living, and God speaks to everybody through the written word, through his gospels. So then he responds, he says, what shall I do, Lord? Sometimes we stop at, who are you, Lord? We all have a situation where we know when we experienced God. I experienced God in this situation. And you can talk about it for hours. This, I was going through this and God got me through this. God is my X. God is my blank. Right? Because he's personal. But then sometimes we stop here. What St. Paul does next is what makes him St. Paul. When he says, who are you, Lord? What do you want me to do? I found out who you are. You are the one that I'm persecuting. Okay. Now, what do you want me to do? How can I be of service? How can I now live for you? That's what Lent is about. Lent is about going on this journey to starting our relationship with God. I don't care if you've never read the Bible before in your life. I don't care if this is the first liturgy ever, or you've never listened to the words of the liturgy. I don't care if you've never fasted before. Lent is the time where we can all get started. We're all on the same page. It doesn't matter if a superstar enters training camp or the 15th player on the bench enters training camp. They all have the same goal and they all start on the same page. So we all enter into this boot camp. And in this boot camp, during Lent, we put our desires to a minimum. We lower our desires, our food, our pleasures, all of these things. And we increase the spiritual, the prayers, the reading, all the edifying things. And the goal of that is that when we end the training camp, that when we end the boot camp, we look differently than when we came out. You look at people who entered the army. There's some people that I met that finished high school and entered into the boot camp to enter into the Marines or the Army or whatever, or the police academy. When they enter these things, they look one way. When they come out, they look a different way. Usually it's a physical change. They even shave their head, they work out every day, they have certain disciplines, because they have a goal. And because in order to achieve that goal, there will be struggles. It will be tough. I was talking to somebody that was in, that was entering the, or finished the police academy. And I said, how hard was it? And he said, it was, there was days where I just wanted to quit. And I said, so why didn't you quit? He said, because this has been a dream of mine. That's it. So if our dream, if our goal is to connect to God, if our goal is to reach a relationship with God, then we have to work on our way. And just like I mentioned all these sports and the, these careers, they all have trainers. It's very important for us not to just kind of enter Lent and figure out things on our own, but that the church supplies fathers of confession, spiritual advisors, spiritual counselors that will help us, one, with our sins, for absolving our sins, and two, to set up a plan for us. Just like in anything. Before you start a class, you get a syllabus. Before you start a diet, you have a diet plan. Before you start anything, we have a goal in mind. And when we go through Lent, we have to think of it in the same way. St. Paul says in the Epistle of Colossians, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. That's what Lent is about. To not set our minds on things on of the earth, but things above. And I promise, if we do that, we will feel Holy Week and the resurrection on a deeper level, rather than just kind of as a part of the season. I pray that we all encourage each other during Lent, encourage each other to fast and to pray, and pray for one another. And as we continue on this journey, that we continue having our goal, which is to really have a personal connection with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And glory be to God forever. Amen.
We want to thank you so much for listening to St. Basil's podcast. We hope that you have gained spiritually from our remarkable speakers, and we appreciate your support towards this podcast. St. Basil American Coptic Orthodox Church is looking to purchase a home, and we would love for you to be a part of our community. We are looking to raise funds towards this novel mission, Orthodoxy in an American Context within the San Diego area. You may donate online through our website, www.stbasil.net. That's www.stbasil.net. Or click on the link below and it will take you to our donations page. You may also mail in your contribution at the address located on our website. We thank you for any contribution, and may our Lord Jesus Christ always bless your heart and home.